Be the kind of Christian that wants to glorify God here on this earth, and who's, you want your life to make other people want to have what you have. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt. You know, I thank God for books, because it was a lot of books that helped me in the healing that I needed when I began a relationship with Jesus. And one of those books was, I read a lot of old books. I read a lot of books that were written in the 16th and 17th century. And, you know, people back then had a different relationship and attitude toward God than some of the modern Christianity. We kind of look at God like he's there to give us everything we want to fix all of our problems, but they didn't look at it like that at all. I mean, they wanted to live holy lives, and they talked a lot about things like I'm talking about this weekend, about dying to self. And so one of the books I read was called Dying to Live. And that's what I titled this message tonight. I would have loved to have named the book that, but I was afraid nobody would buy it because it's not a very exciting title. But the truth is, we have to die to self, self-centeredness, me, what I want, what I think, what I feel. And like Chris said tonight, elevate the truth of God's word above all of those things. And Paul talked to the Corinthians, who were spirit-filled, had the gifts of the Spirit, and he said, you're all still just a bunch of babies. You're immature, and you're babies. And he goes on to tell them, you're jealous, and you covet, and you're greedy, and you do all these different things. And one of the things he said is, you're not able to talk yet. It says that in the Amplified Bible. You're not able to talk yet. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so your mouth is what gives expression to your soul. So we might say it's part of the soul too. And you can locate where you're at spiritually, and you can locate where other people are at spiritually just by listening to what they say. And when you find somebody complaining all the time, that's somebody that's not trusting God. When you find somebody that's gossiping about other people all the time, that's somebody who's not walking in love. And you need to protect yourself and choose people to be around, for the most part, not that you don't ever want to be around people who need your example, but for the most part, you want to make your close relationships people that can challenge you by their behavior, just by their behavior. I want to be like you. Be around people that you want to be like, not people that you used to be like. Amen? And so, I read a lot of books by Watchman Nee. I read a lot of books by Madame Guyon. I probably read everything in Andrew Murray's library. I read things on obedience and things that would help me grow. And it bothers me that people today go for the stuff that's going to get them something instead of going for the things that's going to help them be what Jesus has called them to be. And Priscilla said it so well this morning. Jesus is coming back. It's not just something we say. He is coming back. And so many of the Old Testament prophecies have already been fulfilled. I think there's only like 30 left, I heard recently, to be fulfilled. And things are moving pretty fast in our world. And so I don't know if Jesus will come back in our lifetime, but it's not going to be long. And he's going to return. And we are going to be asked to give an account. Romans said that every man will stand before God and give an account of his life. Now, that's not talking about your salvation. You're saved by the grace of God, not by your works. But your works give you rewards when you get to heaven. The Bible talks a lot about the rewards that will be waiting for us when we get to heaven are we can just blow the whole thing and not have any rewards. Well, I don't intend to spend my whole life doing this just to get there and have to still be in kindergarten trying to grow up spiritually. I'd like to hold a nice meeting with Moses and Joseph and, you know, some of the big guys there. Maybe preach with Jesus sometime. That would be nice. And so the things that I'm talking to you about this weekend, they're not necessarily real easy to hear. They're not the kind of things that people shout and clap about. But if you don't hear these things, you'll never shout and clap. You'll never end up being really happy. Because as long as we stay carnal and fleshly, our lives are not pleasing to God. That doesn't mean He doesn't love us, but our lives, the way we're living, is not pleasing to God. And two times, the Father spoke out of heaven and said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I hope that God can say that about me when He looks at me. And I hope that He can say that about you when He looks at you. And each one of us has to make our own decision. You can't just do what your friends are doing. You can't just do what other family members are doing. You can't just do what even your pastor's doing sometimes. You have to make a decision how you're going to live. And I hope this weekend that some of you make that decision to go for it all. To really make your mind up that you understand that being a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian doesn't mean I go to church on Sunday. Like Priscilla said, I dip in and dip out. I dip in on Sunday morning and dip right back into sin on Monday morning. We don't ever want to take it for granted. Well, because God forgives us, that we can just do things and live sloppy lives. Now, like I said, this has nothing to do with your salvation. If you believe in Jesus and you've received Him, you don't buy your salvation with any kind of good works. But if you have let God really love you and you've spent that time getting to know the Father, like Priscilla said this morning, and you got a close relationship with God where you know He loves you and you love Him, you cannot continue in sin. The Bible says it is impossible for you to continue purposely, habitually sinning because God lives in you. Matter of fact, the Amplified Bible says the divine sperm of God lives in you. And that's talking about Jesus. So I tell people, literally, you're pregnant with God. He's in you, and He wants to grow up. But you know, before you give birth, you have what they call labor pains. Amen? And so some, you know, they tell women when you're giving birth, don't fight against the pain. Just relax. And the more you relax, the easier it's going to be. And then they'd say, breathe. Just breathe. And you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say, but I know it to be the truth. See, I'm old enough now that I can just say whatever I want to, and I don't care. You know? And you have a hard time telling me I'm wrong because I've lived through it. And you can be 20 and disagree with me, but the time you get to be 80, you'll say, well, you'll be telling somebody else. Amen? And so many of the things that we don't like in our life, the things that we call suffering, and I don't even know that we know what suffering is, but by the way, that word is in the Bible a whole bunch of times. Amen? And sometimes a lot of the places where we suffer is in our soul. It hurts when you have to forgive somebody that has really done you wrong. You feel that pain in your soul. But instead of fighting it, just breathe, relax, and realize that pain is doing a work in you. It's cutting something out of you that is keeping you from the life that God really wants you to have. Now, I know you're going to have to listen. You're all looking at me like, okay. Because, you know, we can have meetings. I can get up here and I can shout and I can get you so excited, get you jumping up and down, running around the building. But I don't care if you like it or not tonight. I want you to let it change your life, and you can like me a little bit later if you want to. Amen? God, I was such a mess when Dave and I got married. Such a mess. I mean, the way that I acted was ridiculous. And I went to church every Sunday. And if I didn't get my way, I had a drug habit, but my drug of choice was getting my way, getting what I wanted when I wanted it. Come on, this can't be that shocking. You're all like, does anybody out there ever get upset when you don't get your way? Okay. Thank you. No wonder you're quiet. So, dying to self literally means that I'm going to have thoughts, but if I think something that doesn't agree with God's word, then what I think has to go, and God's word takes precedence over that. If I say, well, I feel, and what I feel doesn't agree with God's word, then I don't live according to that feeling. I live according to the word of God. Don't be a kind of Christian who just does what you think you can get by with and still slip into heaven. Be the kind of Christian that wants to glorify God here on this earth, and who's, you want your life to make other people want to have what you have. And I encourage you to start getting some books. And some of you have them, but if you haven't, don't just buy books that are just going to make you laugh and giggle and make you feel good. It's great to have books that tell you how much God loves you. It's great to have books that tell you who you are in Christ. I'm going to write one in the next year, because you are a masterpiece of God. And if you know who you are in Christ, then you can take all the correction that God wants to give you, because you already know that you're loved and that he's never going to give up on you. So those things are very important. But we also need to read books on holiness. We need to read books on discipline. Come on. We need to read books on self-control. We need to read books on the fruit of the Spirit. We need to read books on obedience and dying to self. I've been doing this a long time, so I can kind of tell where a congregation's at with what I'm preaching. And I can tell you, not to be insulting at all, but I can tell you that a lot of people in this building have never even thought very much about selfishness being a problem. I could tell by the way you're responding and the way you're absorbing and looking, and I'm sure you've done some thinking since last night. And it's kind of interesting that we don't see that as being important when it's one of the most important things Jesus said. If you want to be my disciple and follow me, you have to forget yourself, lose sight of yourself and all your own interests, and take up your cross and follow me. And we've turned that cross into something that it's not and never was. God wants you to have a good life. He doesn't want the devil messing up your life. The enemy comes in and he does things, and sometimes God doesn't remove them as fast as we'd like him to, because he uses it to bring you to a higher place in him. How many of you have learned more about God in the hard times in your life than you ever did in the easy times? How many of you have come closer to God in the hard times of your life than the easy times? So if that's the case, why do we fight against those times so much? And why do we hate them so much? Why can't we just learn something good is going to come out of this? This is going to work out good in my life. So God, I'm going to breathe. And I'm just going to go with it. And I'm asking you to use it for your purpose and do what you want to do in me. We have to stop running from everything that is hard. We have to stop running from everything that hurts and trust God that whatever happens in your life, he loves you and he is going to work it out for your good, and it's only going to make you a better person. Amen? All right. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, adherence to, reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this scripture that many of you know very well is talking about exactly what I'm talking about here this weekend. But somehow we read that, and I don't know if we just think it's nice that Paul died to self, but this is something that we need to apply to our lives. So I want to assure you that everything I'm saying, I can back up in Scripture, because I'm going to say a few things that you're going to go. I is my flesh. This I. Now, there's a new I inside of you, but the I he's talking about here is your flesh. And your flesh is composed of your body, your fleshly body, and whatever part of your soul you have not yet given over to God. See, I don't know, maybe you got my book, Battlefield of the Mind, and so you've cleaned up your thinking a little bit, but maybe you still think bad thoughts about people. Maybe you've got a massage therapist that doesn't thank you. I am really hoping that girl doesn't watch my program. Because if she does, she may cancel my appointment. So you have to understand that, because the Bible talks about the flesh, talks about the spirit wars against the flesh wars against the spirit. The fleshly part of us that is not yet died to self will fight against what the Spirit tries to lead you to do. And you have to be willing to go with God and say no to yourself. Can you say no to yourself? Why? I tell you, if I eat one potato chip, I have to eat the whole bag. Now, come on. You are full of the Holy Spirit, and you're telling me that you're going to try to rebuke the devil, but you do not have authority over a potato chip. I don't think so. You know, we do so many things to deceive ourselves. I remember when I wouldn't eat a piece of cake or a piece of pie, but I would fork it to death. I would take one bite. I didn't eat a piece of pie. And then when I was doing the dishes, I'd take another bite. And a little bit later, I'd take another bite. I probably ended up eating three pieces of pie. But I didn't eat any pie. Your flesh likes to deceive you and make you think that you're doing fine when you're really not. So I, as my flesh, my body, and the part of my soul that has not been crucified and surrendered to Christ for his use. And that comes in stages. That's not something that you're just going to do all at one time. I can tell you that. This is a growing thing. And you'll grow from being in this conference, but that doesn't mean that you won't need to maybe come to San Antonio next year. And because, you know, I can preach this same message 400 different ways and you'll never know what I'm doing. My son David used to run the sound in our conferences back when they were pretty small, and I went in one night and he said, "Well, what are we calling Crucify the Flesh tonight?" Because to be honest with you, we all have a little different call on our life. And the call on my life, I love to see people get saved, but I'm not an evangelist like Chris Kane is an evangelist. I am a teacher, and my goal is to teach you how to grow up and mature spiritually so you can have and enjoy everything that Jesus died to give you. How often do we say, "I want," or "I don't want," or "I feel"? My gosh, people tell me so much often what they feel. "Well, I don't feel like anybody loves me. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like God hears my prayers. I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel." Man, you got to stop listening to how you feel and start believing what the book says that we read. And I've got a book on every, I got books on emotions. I got books on the mind. I've got books on the will, whatever you want. Whichever part of you want to deal with first, just have at it. How often do we say, "I think," or "I feel," or "I want, I want"? Well, it's not really about what I want. It's about what God wants. Amen. Colossians 3:1-5 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." But listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. It says, "So kill the evil desire lurking in your members." Kill your flesh. That's like, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. I mean, there's a few brutal things in the Bible. And really, God is just saying, don't mess around with this stuff. Take it seriously and do what you need to do to get it out of your life so you can be the kind of person that can bring me glory. And then it says, "Kill the evil desire lurking in your members, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness." Now, there are lists like this in various different places in the Bible. And it's so interesting to me that with all these other sins that we see as being so ugly, that greed is always in the list. So greed is just, "I want more. I want more." Now, if you need more, then certainly pray for more. But, you know, I'm at the point in my life where I actually have a hard time asking God to give me anything because he has done so much for me. And I started out, that was all I did, was ask God to give me things.